It's a show where we talk about the power of your mind
to change your world around you,
to literally affect
the fabric of your reality.
We talk about this feeling of hope
and joy
and relief. And that is what being aware of your flow does. It gives you a feeling of power again in your lives.
You hit, oh my God, you are so on target. You are so amazing. I can't thank you enough.
It is the feeling that you bring forward. It is your emotional connection that really sets the tone for what is going to be happening to you and for you. And you know that feeling when you touch it. It just spreads through you.
Thank you for taking my call. I don't know why I feel like crying. I think I just feel your love.
Oh, of course.
And I think I'm going to get some answers.
I'm Summer McStravick, and welcome to another episode of Flow Dreaming. Welcome to Flow Dreaming. Before we get started, a really quick note. If you found this show on iTunes or by downloading the Flow Dreaming podcast app, it would mean so much if you took a moment to review it. That is how other people will find this show and get the same great value out of it that I hope you're getting. So my huge thanks and sparkles and flow go to all of you who just take that few moments to go write a quick little message of telling other people, this is good, go listen. Thanks. Now off we go to the show. And welcome to Flow Dreaming. Hi, everybody. How are you today? I'm here for the next hour with you to guide you through the world of flow, flow dreaming, flow thinking, teaching you and maybe leading you to think of new ways to address your life, to address your future. Flow dreaming starts with manifesting. It then tromps around in empathic intuition, checking in, self-trust. And then as you go deeper and deeper into the practice, you realize, gosh, and just intense personal empowerment, a kind of personal mastery about yourself. So in this show, what we do is we move through all of these different areas. And that's why every single episode is a different topic. How we use flow, how we use this way of thinking, how we use these tools. I'm delighted to say the show's been on for 10 consecutive years. It's my 10-year anniversary, although I may have to celebrate that officially on my 11th year because it doesn't look like I'm going to be putting any big wing dig together this year for the program because, as many of you know, I was diagnosed with cancer this summer. And so for me, I'm on a very interesting and different journey right now. It's given me the opportunity to really see if the way that I believe and think works and what it does for me. And if you're curious, just go to my website, flowdreaming.com, and get the free gifts that I give you. That will put you on my newsletter where I've been sort of documenting my journey, what it's like, what I'm facing. And I don't just mean like medical stuff. I tend to stay away from that. I mean the kind of deep internal changes that I have been forced to embrace, which really is personal growth. No matter what path takes you there, whether it's cancer or diabetes or, you know, the passing of one of your loved ones or losing a job or divorce or retirement, so many things can push you into this place of big change. And that's when often we look at ourselves and say, I don't have enough tools for this, right? There's got to be more than what I currently know. And we start taking that trek inside of ourselves into personal growth. And then some people like me, you know, we become kind of addicted to it and we make our whole life be about exploring our human potential. Today's program, our topic is the flow of birth and babies and becoming and just creation in general. And it's kind of funny. I know it's like, why isn't this topic being, you know, why aren't you doing this in the springtime when the whole world is going into birth? Well, you know, in Australia, I think it is the spring. So even if it's the fall here in California. This topic really is kind of timely, no matter what time it is in the world. I'm going to take you here through my process of creation, initiating, birthing something, birthing, whether it's a new book, whether it's a little, a new company, or whether it's a baby, had two of those myself. We're going to look at what is that like. There's similarities energetically to all of them. And there is a path, a best practices path you can follow as you start to put these things on your agenda and say, yes, I am going to go into this phase now. This is going to be where my emotions, my energy is going to be centered for the next, you know, however many weeks, months, even years. So let's look at that. Before we jump in, quick reminder, this show is aired live as a radio program every Tuesday. You can go to my website, get complete details about how and when and what number to use to call in. But that means right now, if you're listening and it's live, I would love to take your calls a little bit later in the program. And we'll look at you. We'll look at your life. We'll see what needs adjusting, some energetic tweaking, empathically look into you or your friends, family, anything that needs to be looked at. We do that in flow. We'll also be doing a flow dream a little bit later to help you get into that state of initiation, pre-action, flow dreaming, to lift anything that you're trying to make or create off the ground. So stay tuned for that as we move through the program. Okay, how do I begin the process of making something? I'm going to keep it general, right? Because you guys all have something right now you probably are trying to create for yourself in your life. For me, the process of generating something new, getting into that field of new, of birth, is like this. I have a vague yearning, right? An itch to scratch. There's something I want to do, I want to be, I want to try. And sometimes this vague yearning stays for a while. It just is there. And I say, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Sometimes the yearning sharpens up really quickly inside of me and I go, oh my God, it'd be so cool to do that. Oh, ah, ooh. Like, for instance, I was just looking at my website and some redesign work that I'm doing on it and thinking, gosh, it'd be so cool if someday I could like create some jewelry based around flow dreaming. Or, you know, I was talking with my mom. She came and basically laid up in bed with me while I was going through chemo last week. And we were brainstorming like, oh, it'd be so cool to get her art out. And, you know, what would that be like? And it was like a really beautiful, sharp, flavorful feeling. Right. So this yearning, this desire becomes an idea. It sharpens up at some point into an idea. Oh, flow dreaming jewelry. Oh, flow dreaming, you know, note cards and using my mom's art and whatever it may be. Right. This idea begins to form. The very next thing I do with it at that point is I go into the emotional end point of the idea. Now, if you're new to flow dreaming, you're like, what's an emotional endpoint? I talk at length about this. So either listen to more podcasts or go to my website, get some ideas on what this means. In short, though, emotional endpoint is the feeling that I believe that this idea will achieve for me in my life. In other words, I take the material goal, the thinking goal, a line of note cards or a line of jewelry or whatever that's popping up for me. And I say, what is it going to make me feel like? Why would I actually do this? Right? What's the feeling behind it? And in these cases, the emotional endpoint is freedom of creative expression, the sensation of something new that delights me, that I can get freshness, right? The feeling of creating something beautiful, creativity. Right? These are the general big ones that come up for me. Like, oh, that's how I feel from this. I feel the beautiful growth of something intensely creative that, you know, just gives me a sense of I've made something beautiful and the world receives it and loves it. Those are my emotional endpoints. Now, notice the emotional endpoints are different than the thing that I'm thinking will get me there. It's not note cards. It's not jewelry. It's these are the feelings that I think either of those things may create in me. Now, I'm very clear at this point what that means. Flow will give me based on these emotional feelings, right? It may be the note cards, it may be jewelry, maybe something else. Almost what I'm thinking of becomes secondary to the emotional endpoints of those things. This is very important because when I begin flow dreaming, when I begin manifesting with the universe, I am manifesting based on the emotional endpoints, not on the thing itself. The next step in my process is what I call percolating. percolating. Remember those old-fashioned percolators? You used to make coffee. Gosh, my grandma used to make coffee that way. I can still hear the sound of it so many times. I'd be sitting in her kitchen and the percolator, plop, 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 plop. It's different than a drip coffee maker, which is percolator, plop, 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 plop. You know, and it finally ends and, oh, coffee's made. Percolating, that's how it feels in my mind. It's in there. It's just kind of rolling around. I'm not paying attention to it. I'm doing other stuff. It's happening in the background. It's just rolling around inside me. It's interacting with things. And I'm not even sure what, but I'm just letting it happen. It's got to brew. And I feel that. I feel that energy state. I can look at any one of my ideas right now and know exactly where it is inside me. It may be the sharp idea. May never have passed that. I may have extended it to emotional endpoints. I may know the feeling behind it. I may be in the percolation stage. I can tell. Right? And at any given time, there's multiple things in my life that I'm starting to initiate or create, right? As manifestors, you should always have multiple things on your plate that you're starting to initiate, right? These are the blooms on your fruit tree. You've got to have many blooms. Some of those blooms are going to fall off. Some of them are going to turn into baby fruits. Some of them are going to, baby fruits are going to fall off. Anybody have a fruit tree? You know what I'm talking about? You walk out and you see all your little baby green oranges on the ground and they're like the size of a marble. And you say, oh, why did they fall off? I don't know, but they did. But you still end up with a beautiful crop at the end of the day. This is what we do as we manifest. So I move through percolation, right? When does percolation end? Again, I don't know, right? It's a feeling and we'll get there. Okay. Keep that in mind. Percolation will end. It's a feeling. You won't know at first. Don't try to know. After percolation or even during percolation, I move into the next phase, collection. If I'm going too fast for you, this is how I teach, bring a notebook, take it to class, take it to podcasts. I move into collection mode. Collection is, this is where I think about, what do I need to know? What don't I know about this yet? What don't I know about jewelry manufacturing? What don't I know? Will people even like the idea of it? You know, would somebody wear a little charm or something beautiful that reminded them of Flo? Would someone like a note card with, is there an audience for this or is this only for me? Is it something that should go out in the world or is it something that's only to fulfill something inside myself, a personal treasure, my own piece of jewelry? You know, what's the research I need to do around this? Right? And I go start collecting things. Now, this is adding to the percolation process typically. After that, a certain point goes by. I've done a lot of research. I've done my percolating. It's something, it's like a little, it's very hard to put a, there's no definite time when this happens. It's more like someone has set a timer inside me and it dings. I don't know what that timer was set to. It will ding. When it dings, I ask myself, am I moving forward yet? Am I taking action? Or am I still hesitant? Did I get stuck? This is the critical piece. At some point, and if you don't even know when your inner timer does this, I've become attuned to mine. If you don't have one, I would set up an artificial timer. I would take out your phone and I would set your calendar 2 weeks from the idea. Check in. Intuitively check in and choose, is it time to take action or not? Right? This is your intuitive check-in. If you don't do this, this is where most people stall out. Most people stall out right here. 75% stall out. They percolate, they collect, they research, and then they stop. Why? And they say, well, I was unsure. Well, I didn't know if I had the money. Well, I wasn't sure if it was the right thing. Well, I couldn't find something. It blocked me. And then I got turned in another direction and I forgot about it. The intuitive check-in goes like this. If I haven't made a decision yet as to whether this project or idea is a fit for me, why haven't I made that decision? What is holding me up from making that decision? It's really important. What is holding me up from making that decision? And this is where, if you write it down, you'll start to say, oh, I'm actually feeling like I don't yet have enough information and I need to do more collection. Or, oh, I realize that the thing that I was excited about, I just decided it's not actually that exciting after all. So I actually am choosing not to pursue it. That's a perfectly legitimate answer. That stops the sequence. You are not expected to have every one of your ideas come to fruition, but you must check in. You must know. So if you haven't discarded it and you don't need more percolating time, and if you discover that I actually say I need more percolating time, but it's really not that, it's really that I'm scared or I have fear issues and stuff coming up, right? Then you know what to do. You know what your next steps are. Get over the fear. Do that work. Grow in that area, right? When I take students through Me School, we practice this all year long, over and over. You know, what is the fear? What's the holdup? What's going on? What ceiling have you hit? What resistance have you hit? What's going on? So I can't teach you that part right here, but that's the piece that you'll have to address. Now, what if you decide, yeah, this feels good. And yeah, actually, I am ready. What do I do next? This is where we again move into flow. We use our flow dreaming. We do our pre-action. See, early on, you found your emotional endpoints for the idea. You got the why behind it. Oh, because it's going to make me feel like this. It's going to give me freedom in my life. It's going to give me more time at home with my kids. It's going to give me that little dash of travel that I wanted. It's going to complete my family by having this baby. You know the emotional endpoint. Well, what do you do now after it's percolated, collected, intuitively checked in? Pre-action. This is where you say to flow, hey, guess what? It's a green light. This is a go. This feels good. I want this. It is saying, yes, it's checking every box. I'm getting a green light. And this is where you flow these feelings like, I'm embracing this. I'm committing to this. And I'm remaining fluid as I move forward in this. But I'm doing it. Flow, help me. Flow, line it up for me. Let's be in this together. I'm going to do my 50%. You do your 50%, right? This is where you make the deal with the universe. This is the handshake that says, and now we're in business. You fail to do this, right? You fail to do this step. What happens? You start doing stuff, but you never actually let your universe, let your flow, let source know that you are, right? You're leaving out your partner. You're barging ahead without enlisting your other 50% of your power. And again, this is another area where most people who aren't tuned into personal growth, they have no clue. This is even a thing. Is it a thing? Yeah, it's a thing. It's the commitment piece, the flow dream piece, the yes, I'm doing this with physical action and I'm doing this with my non-physical action. Game plan complete. After that, my final step, action. This is where I take action. Everything is lined up. I know what's going on. I've been flow dreaming, pre-acting, feeling. Flow is bringing me stuff now, and I start moving toward it. I start doing stuff toward my goal. Now, there's another sequence, of course, that kicks in after that, but we're only talking right now about the flow of birth, creation, becoming. The new idea, springing something to life in your world. So once again, because I know that was a lot of information, it felt like a lot of steps. They're very simple. You identify the vague yearning. You coalesce it into the idea, right? Keyword, yearning, idea, emotional endpoint, number three, percolation, number four, collection, number five, intuitive check-in, number six, pre-action slash flow, number seven, finally, action, number eight. Notice too, eight is your beautiful number of money. It's your number of action, material growth. It's a perfect sequence. Try it out. Use it. Deconstruct this. Take a piece of paper. Choose something in your life that you want to grow. write down. Do you have each? Where is that idea? Did it get stuck at one of these points? Did you skip one? Could you go back and correct that and then start again from that point to see if things unfold for you differently? I mean, my God, there's a lot of use for this right now in your life using this process. Okay, we have a quick break. When we get back, I'm just going to add a little bit on to this. Those of you who want to start a family, those of you who want to start a job or a new career, and those of you who want to start some sort of creative endeavor, like writing a book or painting a picture or singing, writing a song. Okay. Those are three other areas I just want to give you a little tweaks and adjustments for. Then some of your calls and of course our flow dream. So stay with me. I'll be back right after this. Hey, it's summer again, and yes, we're on break, but I wanted to share some important stuff with you about the hugely amazing and gorgeous Me School of Flow. Right now, it's either enrolling or it's accepting names onto the wait list. This means that I'm accepting students that I work with personally over the year ahead. And I teach you to do what I do, how to think how I think, how to work with flow, manifest, create, and use the universe the way it's meant to be used. You're going to create amazing things using flow. You'll also open and expand your empathic intuition. After doing this for a number of years, I can tell you, Me Schoolers make strides and hit goals way beyond what they think they're going to be able to do going in, over and over. You don't have to be a superstar going in, because that's what we're going to turn you into once you get there. If you're ready to go big, if you know you need to deepen your spiritual practice and your personal growth, then this is where you need to be. Your life, after all, only grows as big as you do. So Me School is online. That means you'll connect with me from all over the world. What to do next? Click or swipe on over to flowdreaming.com. You'll see an area that talks about Me School. During enrollment, you can set up a free 20-minute call with me. And during waitlist times, I invite you to send me a note telling me about your interest. Okay, I look forward to hearing from you and even more to getting to know you as one of my personal students in Me School. Now, let's get back to the episode. Welcome back. I see your calls. We'll get to those in just a second. Let me just address a couple areas. Those of you who want to have children, right? You've decided, I want to have a baby. Yeah, can't keep waiting for a better time than now. We are off on this grand and beautiful new adventure. What I always tell my clients who are ready to have kids is, as you move through the process, you can move through the process for having a baby. Vague yearning becomes a sharpened idea. Yes, it's now. What's my endpoint for this? God, love, family, expansion. Percolating, does this really feel good? And you will percolate. Yeah, 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 it keeps feeling good. Collection of materials, can we do this now? Do we have the money for this? You know, is my husband or wife or partner on board? You know, yes, no. Intuitive check-in, are we still a green light? Does it still feel yes? Pre-action. I want you to adjust your pre-action a little bit to include the feeling of invitation, right? Because this is not just about you. This is an invitation. This is you saying to this new being, hey, I'm ready. I want you. I would like to invite you into our family. Will you come? We want you. We love you already. We are already prepared for you. Please come. Right? This feeling of embrace, the feeling of inviting, add that in to your pre-action. Right? And sometimes I know it sounds obvious when I say it, but we forget. We just think, well, we got to try and we have to, you know, time everything right this month. And you know, we get so far into those kind of areas. We forget we're actually inviting a new being into our life. That is the strongest emotional, energetic connection you can make that invitation. Please add that in. Shifting gears, for those of you who are trying to create a new job, a new career, or maybe lifting a business off of the ground, one of the pre-actions that I really want to see you putting in as you birth this is that when you go into the embracing and committing part, I'm really committing to this new job. I'm committing to this new career. I'm embracing this lifting off, but I also request support. Flo, I know you're going to do your 50%. Please give me support. Please give me the tools, the resources, the people I need to make this easy for me. Make it easy for me. I don't want to go in with a feeling that this is going to be difficult. I want Flo to say, it's going to be easy. Here's what you need, right? The more you give me, Flo, the easier you make it for me, the more I can dig in and embrace, right? So give me that support. If that means a cushion of income for 6 months, give that to me. If that means that I meet the right person who says, I want to help you, you'd be awesome to partner with, I want that person. Whatever support you can provide, bring it to me so it can be easier for me. I always, always, always add that in because, again, sometimes we forget and we just load it all up on our own shoulders and think it's going to be hard. For instance, if I really did want to do, you know, a line of jewelry or note cards, what I would be asking for Flo is, bring me in some people who are already doing this, who would have a beautiful hour-long conversation with me and show me the pros and cons, right? That would be amazing support for me, amazing support. The do's and don'ts, what works, what doesn't. I would love that. Oh, that would solve things that were, you know, that could become a problem before they ever did. That would make it so easy, Flo. Thank you. That would become part of my pre-action. Lastly, for those of you who want to launch a book, or maybe you want to do an email launch of some type, you know, some email campaign or summit, or those of you who have this creative thing you're putting together, a project of some type, you're writing a song, I ask for, and this is because this is what I see most people struggling with the most in this area, I ask for time and focus. Time and focus. Give me the time to commit to this. Open up the hours for me. Give me the space. Give me the alone time necessary for me to focus and really bring up that strong, emotional, energetic, creative power that I need to make this happen. Because what I see a lot of people do is they have their desire to birth this kind of creative thing, and then they fit it in to all the little empty points that are already existing in their life. The half an hour here, the Saturday morning there, the 2 hours after the kids go to bed, right? They're basically shoving it into an already full schedule. What do you think Flo says to that? Flo says she wants this, but she's not actually creating a space for it. She's just throwing it in everything else. It's not really feeling very important. It's feeling like she's only going to do it if it fits what she's already got going. How do you think Flo responds? All right, well, we'll give her what fits in the cracks. Does that feel like the birth of something powerful? Or does that feel like you kind of halfway there, halfway giving to it? In order to fully give to that creative venture, you have to open the space. Oh, wow. You know, suddenly my tennis instructor is going on, you know, vacation for 3 months. So I guess I have all Sunday free now, every Sunday. Wow. Okay. I'm going to fill that with the time and focus to write my book. Oh, gosh. You know, my hours got changed at work and they actually took away, you know, 5 hours. And it makes me really nervous, but now I have that time to use for something fruitful, right? And you may discover that you never needed that 5 hours. Maybe Flo will compensate you with giving you a raise or something else. I don't know. You might be also asking for support. You see how you can start playing with combinations now to get what you need? Got to be creative, folks. So those are the three little addendums I wanted to add for your process. I hope this show helped. If it has, I'd love to hear from you guys. You know, go to my Facebook page, right on the wall there, right on the friend page if you can. I don't always friend everybody on Facebook, unfortunately, because it maxes out at 5,000. And I'm getting closer and closer, and I try to reserve friend spots for my students as well. But you can always write on my wall. You can always send me a note. You can always email me. If I read everything, if I can't personally respond, then I ask my assistant to respond. Just so you know that I have read it and received it and send you my love for it. Okay, let's get some calls in right now. See what's going on in your life. If there's something you want to create or just something that you have to go on. Wendy, are you calling from Los Gatos? Is that what that means? Wendy, welcome.
Los Gatos. Hey, Summer, it's Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. Is it a Wendy I know?
Yes.
Okay. I know a couple. I'm trying to identify your voice, going through my mental Rolodex, which I realize sounds very 1992, even as I say it. What's up?
Yeah, I hesitate to give my last name, but you do know me. Very well.
Oh, okay. I think I know which one you are now.
Yeah.
What's going on?
You'll figure it out quickly. Great to talk with you. And my question is around a very big decision that I've been in the midst of over the last couple of months around my business. And okay. The indecision is keeping me stuck, and mm-hmm. it is costing me money. Mm-hmm. And I've identified that it isn't fear. It is very much a matter of really not feeling that the right choice has come to me yet in order to make the mm-hmm. decision. But here's where I get stuck. I'm having a hard time distinguishing between the discomfort of the next chapter or that it's just not the right choice intuitively.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
That's where I'm getting stuck.
Can you tell me the actual decision to be made?
Basically looking for my next mentor and mentorship program.
Okay. Okay. So what I would say right off the bat is obviously this is a collection / intuition breakdown, right? If I were to stick you into one of those phases, collection / intuition. The collection mm-hmm. part is I'm still looking for more information. Mm-hmm. And the intuitive check-in is the reason that I'm holding up is because I feel like I don't have enough information. So you have been a me school student. So this is why for everybody listening, she's very well informed in this process and where we go next with it. So the question she's asking herself am I holding back and saying it's about information and not having the right materials because I'm afraid? And you said no. Am I holding back because I'm afraid I'm making the wrong choice and it's not the perfect choice? Now we're getting mm-hmm. closer. What mm-hmm. if I screw up? What if I make the wrong choice? What if this isn't the right one? I've got a lot hanging on the line. It's going to cost me money. What if I screw up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I use this kind of choice as a practice for me personally, because I have to make these decisions all the time.
Right.
Where I say, look, it may be the right choice, the perfect choice, or it may be only 75% right for me. If I make the choice anyway, knowing it may only be a 75% fit, how committed am I to then going out and getting what I need from it no matter what? Because otherwise, I'm leaking my power into making that thing be perfect for me instead mm-hmm. of me being perfect for it, me pulling what I need out of it.
Mm.
Okay? You see, because mm-hmm. if we wait and wait and wait for someone to be perfect for us, and we do this in relationships, we do this with mentors, we do it with programs, we do it with anything, mm-hmm. accepting a new job, but then we get in the waiting zone forever because very few things show up 100% perfect. I get over that perfection point in my head and I go, this is good enough. And whatever percentage it's not good enough, I will find my good out of, mm-hmm. right? I will find it. I will make it work for me. That will be my next step. Because at some point I acknowledge to Flo, look, if you're not giving me any more, and I set a time period for myself, I often do this. I go 2 months, 8 weeks, right? Because I know if I don't do it by 8 weeks, it starts to cost me money. If I'm not doing it by 3 months, it's now really costing me. And maybe it's not money. Yeah. Maybe it's emotional or something else. Mm-hmm. So I'm return on investment, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm losing more by waiting now than I am losing by jumping into something that's not right, I'm going to jump in.
Right.
So, you know, I'm doing this right now as I'm making a decision about my website. None of the companies are totally perfect, but I'm going to choose one anyway because I have to. And if Flo hasn't given me the more perfect thing, I'm going to say, all right, I still need to take an action. It's just time. Knowing I can recover from most actions. I really can.
Mm-hmm.
Even expensive ones.
Yeah.
Is this helping?
Yeah. And that's very helpful. It isn't, you know, like the money I'm not concerned about, like putting out the money and all of that. It's the fact that this choice, I believe, and I could be wrong, will set me on a trajectory. I have kind of two options I'm looking at, and each option sets me on very different trajectories.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go back to your emotional endpoints. Which trajectory feels good? Which one will solve that problem of how you want to feel?
Mm-hmm.
The most. Take away all the promises and the glitter and stuff that, you know, each of the trajectories is showing to you. Which one really feels like you?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're still torn, pick one anyway, knowing that it will morph. And probably what you're projecting is not going to be what comes out anyway. Mm-hmm. I know I hate to say it. Things can constantly change. Because you're constantly manifesting every day in a new direction. One decision will put you in a new direction. But every day, your daily choices are going to start moving you all over the road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is a perfection thing again coming out. Mm-hmm. You feel you already know where you're going to end up based on this one throw of the ball. You're forgetting about the wind that's going to be constantly blowing you.
Right. No, that's very important to remember.
So my advice is, if you know you've been sitting on this long enough, pick one and say, hey, if I have to strengthen up and deal with choosing wrong, thank you, Flo. Obviously, that was my next step.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I already spent $5,000 on a web company that didn't work out. I got exactly zero from it. So what? Thank you, Flo, for strengthening me up. Obviously, I had to see that. I would rather lose $5,000 now than $50,000 in my next major project because I hadn't gotten that lesson.
Right.
It's got to be a big enough lesson to sting. Always remember, but not so big that it takes you under.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, darling, I'll let you go. You have a lot to think on.
So
you will do
thank
fine.
You.
Bye, Wendy.
Okay,
take care.
You,
bye,
love
honey.
You.
Love you too. I know what Wendy you are. And I just want to shout out a little thank you for the extra help you've been giving me on Facebook. Okay, let's try another Susan in New York. Susan, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, Summer. How are you?
Great. Have we spoken before?
No.
Oh, okay. A newbie. Ha ha ha
ha. I've been listening to you for a long time, though, and I really appreciate your work, and I send you love and healing.
Thank you. Thank you. What kind of love and healing can I give you, though?
Well, where I get stuck is the emotions. And in a nutshell, I was kind of brought up in a situation where emotions were used as weapons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I kind of shut down at a very early age and just stayed in that middle ground, very numb, not trusting people, isolating myself. So I kind of got stuck with the flow dreaming in bringing up the positive emotions. And I think that's what's keeping that wall up and preventing me from getting where I'd really like to go, because I do want to feel those positive emotions and be happy. And I know I have a lot to give the world. It's just, I feel like I run into that wall every single time. And I'd like to know what you'd like to say about it and what you kind of see in my flow with it.
Okay. As you were speaking, what really comes up for me is when I was talking about babies, I was like, Susan needs to reclaim her baby, right? Her baby will grow up to be her power. And the baby for you is your emotional self. It's your strength. It's your main source. And being that you learned to be controlled when you were young, someone controlled you. They use their emotions to control your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You gave up your power. You gave it up.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in a process now of inviting it back. Before you can use your emotion to talk, to flow, to create, to manifest, you have to come to it and say, I invite you back into my life. I accept you. I receive you. I'm not scared of you. If I embrace you, I'm not going to be punished. If I express you, no one's going to call me names or tell me I'm being manipulative. I'm not going to repeat what my mom or my dad did to manipulate me or other people with their emotions. None of that. That's not me. That was a framework I was given and shown that I outgrew many, many, many years ago. That was like someone teaching me how, you know, in kindergarten, how to write, how to handwrite. And so I still write all my letters crooked. I outgrew that. No, I can write in fluid cursive now. I've outgrown that. My new relationship, my new invitation with my emotional self. If you're closing your eyes right now, just follow along. I open to you. I love you, embrace you, and I'm learning to trust you. And I'm going to trust you first because I want to trust other people in my life. I want intimate friendships. I want people who love me, help me, don't betray me. I want that. They come next, though. First, I trust me. So I have to get to know that person, get to know those feelings, let them out. I want to look at you, any of my feelings. I want you to come out inside me. And I want you to show me how strong and powerful you are. And we're going to be friends. And we're going to love each other and grow strong together. You see how this feels different?
Very, very much so.
It's a completely different way of talking to yourself. You are giving yourself permission is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Permission. I give you permission. You give yourself permission. I think the main thing for you is reversing your understanding. Emotions are positive and good. Even ones that may feel heavy and negative, fine. They're still doing something for you. Claim them. They've been little lost sheep. Claim them. Okay? That should be where your...
Perfect sense.
Yeah, that should be where all your flow dreaming goes, at least for the next few months, until you reach a point where you say, you know what? I'm feeling pretty good about having these and feeling these. I don't feel like a bad girl anymore. I feel like this is what a strong, powerful woman feels like. I'm one of those people now. I am not my family. And at some point, I'll go into the unraveling of why did I get that as my first paradigm? Why did they show me that first? That's the next step.
I have a why in my head. Mm-hmm. Logically, I've kind of put those things together. I don't think things happen by accident.
Nope.
And I think that, you know, both of them were products of the environments they came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think either one of them intentionally tried to leave us with that. It's just, it was the result.
So look what beautiful gift you've been given. You are learning that you can transcend your environment.
Yep.
And once you understand that you can do that, what else can you transcend? What other limitations inside yourself? Tons of them. They all start breaking around you.
Yep. Absolutely. Because this is my biggest wall.
Well, you have a fun wall. You do. It's one of my favorites. See how positive I feel about it? All right, Susan, I got to let you go, my dear. But you've got your homework, okay?
Thank you so much.
Welcome. Much love to you. And it's breaky time. So we'll be back in like a minute or so. And I think at that point, we're probably going to dip into our flow dream. So hang with me. We'll be right back after this. Here we are on a quick break, and I have a few suggestions for you. First of all, if you're wondering how to flow dream or what flow dreaming really is, I have a free gift bag of downloads for you on my website right now. Go to flowdreaming.com, enter your email. That's it. You'll get the downloads right then, instantly. And they're a 30-minute tutorial on how to flow dream. And I give you a free flow dream to start with. This saves me from reteaching the basics over and over again on this show. And it gives you the first step toward a freaking awesome life. You're going to find these downloads on my homepage right now. So pop in your email and I'll send them right over to you. Next, my manifesting shop at flowdreaming.com is what underwrites this entire show. It brings it to you free every week, and it has for the last 10 years, which is saying quite a lot. And what's there? Amazing playlists on all kinds of topics. MP3s, flow dreams that end fear, that get you unstuck, that can get you to your perfect career, that can get you out of debt, help you find your soulmate, so much more. These playlists are incredibly powerful, highly effective. My inbox is full every day with thank you notes from lottery winners, people who've just gotten married, people who've received eye-popping bonuses, who've reduced massive amounts of pain or healed themselves in so many different ways. So please go visit the manifesting store at flowdreaming.com and see what you want to pick up and start using to change your life with. Okay, back to the program. Welcome back to Flow Dreaming. You're going to get the experience of what it feels like to be in flow right now. I always preface this part by saying flow dreams are not meditation. They're not affirmations. It's not creative visualization. It's not self-hypnosis. It's its very own animal. And I would love to see you go to the website. There's a free audio gift that you can receive from me where I teach you what flow dreaming is. Check that out, because I don't have time right here to do it. You can also usually find one of my episodes will be a basics beginner guide to flow dreaming. You could also listen to that. So for our brief purposes, you're going to utilize daydreaming. You're also going to use your emotions. And finally, you're going to understand the sense of flow, that you are continuously moving forward in time and space. You are continuously creating. There's like a leading edge to you. And what you are is what the world reflects back to you, right? This is our basis for manifesting in this way of thinking. So when we move into our flow dream, it's not about clearing your mind or quieting. It's about ramping up your emotional self. If you're familiar with Abraham Hicks, think about their rampages. It's bringing this intense emotion up. Inside of this feeling that I'm in a flow, I'm in a movement. It's very easy. It's very perfect. There is a natural direction to my life, a natural expression to my life. If there was one place where everything went 100% right for me, this is where I'm putting my emotional self right now. The daydreaming is just what gives your mind something to do. Right? Mind, look at pictures. Mind, hear words. You know, keep yourself occupied over there. So close your eyes with me and relax. Letting your shoulders drop. Deep breath. Letting your jaw release. Letting your brow release as well. Feeling yourself let go. As if you were a little leaf that had been caught on the side of a stream, a shallow little stream, perhaps only a few inches deep, just a beautiful little runoff of cool water flowing. And you unhook suddenly from the side, and now you're just bumping along, graceful, elegant, flowing down this bubbling water. Feel that direction? You don't have to do anything. My goodness, it's effortless. You're completely supported. This water, this energy, this flow is absolutely and utterly carrying you. It's carrying you. You don't have to think about where you're going. You're going to the right place. The stream goes to the ocean. The stream connects you to source. The stream connects you to your future. You don't have to plan it. You don't have to dig for it. You don't even have to make it. It's already there. But you do get to experience each little piece of it along the way. And that's when you notice, what will be this piece? What will be this next piece? I wonder if I can offer my feelings to my flow, offer it a feeling, a direction based on the emotional endpoint. I have something in my life that I want to start. I want to birth. I want to grow. I want to become. I want it to become part of me. A big part of me. This thing that I'm making will become not just part of my life. It'll become part of me because I'll be interacting with it. I'll be growing with it. I'll be going back and everything. Oh boy, this feels good. This thing feels really good. It feels beautiful. It feels right. It feels like a yes. A yes, 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 yes. And as I look around, I'm thinking, what else do I need to know about this? What will help me? What do I need to collect? What information? What do I need to know? What do I need to research? Flow, bring that to me. I'm ready. Crowd me with information. And then help me sift through it. Help me let the right things rise up to the top, rise to the surface, and the things that are irrelevant, I feel them sinking beneath me, falling away. This is percolating in me. The right stuff rising up, the right research, the right people, the right websites, the right connections, the right conversations, the right timing. Oh, yes, it's all coming collected. And now here I stand. I stand with a feeling in my flow. I see myself out in this beautiful place, still with the stream, still with the energy moving forward. I continue to move forward, flowing in whatever visuals it looks like to me, a bigger stream of light perhaps. And I'm saying, okay, I'm ready for my next step. I'm checking in. Are we ready to launch? Are we ready to launch? And I go through the launch checklist, like a rocket being fired to the stars. Is it ready? And then I notice, what's the feeling? Yes, no, or wait for more? A yes is a go, and I know the next step. A no is a no, and I know that means let this one go. It wasn't a fruit that was meant to fully form. And if it's a wait for more information, then I say, okay, flow, next steps. Let's create a timeline for this. Don't let me get stuck. Don't let me get stuck in fear. Don't let me get stuck in indecision. Don't let me get stuck in perfection, any of those. And I know all of them. I've seen all of them lined up before me. I've encountered each and every one of those little sticky pieces. I go through all of them. I move through them all. Help me do that. I will set myself a deadline right now. And I set that deadline. I'm like the rabbit in Alice in Wonderland. I've got my big clock in my hand and I'm setting the deadline. All right. 2 weeks, 3 months. And I check in again. And I will keep doing that. I will keep checking in until I receive a precise answer, until I've worked my way through it. A yes, a no, or a wait for more. And each time I get a wait for more answer, each time that deadline gets repeated and another one put in, I make a note. What do I need to do next inside myself to get past that? I'm learning so much with this flow. I'm learning a whole process. I'm learning a process for creation, a process for living, a process for lifting big, beautiful things off the ground. And that's the last thing I do. This thing that is ready to go, the thing that is a yes, oh, it is liftoff. I can feel those beautiful, fiery, gorgeous flames of light and energy and passion forming underneath me. I am that rocket. I am lifting off. I have everything I need. 4, liftoff. 3, 2, 1, go. And there I go. I've released it and I'm in. I'm going. And that's the feeling I stay in as my flow dream ends and I open my eyes. That is how we put the emotional part onto the lecture I gave you earlier. Hope you enjoyed that. We'll do another one same time, same place next week. Until then, my love goes out to you all and happy flow dreaming. Well, look at that. Show's over. But before you go, did you know that my mom has a podcast too? Her show airs live right after mine. It comes up next. We tape our live shows back to back. Her show is called The Dear Venus Show. So stay listening and you can call in or look it up live on iTunes if you're listening via podcast. Her show is really good. It's really funny. And she reads people's minds and futures and talks to dead people for real. It's called The Dear Venus Show on iTunes.